here. Come Godfather's here. Come Godfather's right down Godfather Lane. Tidwell and Danny-O making you laugh so feel like you're going insane. Bells are ringing, Donnie singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stockings, say your prayers, because the Godfathers are on tonight! Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 36th installment and the final one for the year 2020. We are the Godfathers of podcasting, and we've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. And this is the holiday edition. And this episode is brought to you by NordVPN, eyeglasses.com, Fight TV, Kangol Hats, Camelback, Air Vape, Just CBD, and Coffee Friend. This week, I'm drinking Caprissimo Fragrante from Coffee Friend. I ordered it online. It is absolutely amazing. Maybe the most flavorful cup of coffee I've ever had at home. And I've got it right here in my Godfathers of Podcasting mug, which you can get on Godfathers of Podcasting in our shop. If you order now, it will still arrive in time for Christmas. Hello, everyone. My name is Donnie DeSilva, and it is my pleasure to introduce to you the Zach Morris and AC Slater to my Screech powers, or, because we are not going to discriminate sexually, the Kelly Kapowski and Jesse Spano to my Lisa Turtle. Ladies and gentlemen, Notorious T.I.D. Chris Tidwell and your bro Danny O.
Wow. I was going to say more like your heat miser and freeze miser to your mother nature, right? Because like, it's a Christmas edition, man.
Bah humbug.
It's a year without Santa Claus.
Yeah, it sure is.
I was going to say, man, as you might be able to tell from behind me, I've been pumping nothing but Christmas vinyl lately. Mm. And you officially made me hate a song now, Donnie, that
come
I can
on.
No longer have in my playlist.
You didn't like my Here Come Godfathers?
No, I think that's something that goes on the seaside.
At least I was on beat.
You were, actually.
Thank you.
Not bad. I will give you this. If there's going to be any kind of 2020 wrap-up talks, I will say that 2020 is the year that Donnie came full circle on his rap career. It's only been, I think, 19 years, and he's finally got it down to some degree better than before. So I'll give you that, man.
That wasn't really a rap, though. That was just a little.
No, no, but your musicality has improved.
Thank you,
sir. In a legitimate way, yes.
Thank you.
That is my gift to you.
Your sarcociousness is appreciated.
Yes, that is sarcociousness. We haven't said that kind of stuff in a while.
Where we just like start making up words and shit?
Yeah, you know, jelosity and all that.
Yeah, jelosity. Tid's feeling all kinds of jelosity because he doesn't have any secret words like that.
You got a singing voice on you, bro?
On where?
Anywhere in your world.
None that y'all gonna ever see without paying. That's the way that goes.
I got to tell you guys, we got so much feedback last week to the opening bit that we did when we talked about Danny O's obsession with the number 10.
How come you didn't tell me?
Because I want to save it for on air and see your reaction. It was so funny. People actually were hollering at me going, no, for real? For real? He's like that. And I'm like, oh, for real? He's that obsessed with the number 10. It's really stupid.
Well, listen, you would have people believe that I actually like played a lottery and only picked 10, like 10 times. Like I don't actually.
Wow, look at that. Even in his description, he says pick it 10 times.
Well, I think you can only pick six numbers, if I'm not mistaken, or whatever.
Then why say 10?
Because
that's your go-to.
Because that's how you think I am, when really.
I don't believe that every number. I don't believe every number you pick for the lottery would be 10, but I think all the numbers together would add up to 10.
How would that be? I'd have to choose what? 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then I'm done.
You figure it out.
Yeah, I'd make some mathematical equation. You're right. That's the thing. That's why I've never won the lottery. I have to create a mathematical equation that equals 10.
Steiner.
And when it works, then we'll see who's laughing.
Speaking of math,
have won money off of 10. Like I said,
speaking of mathematical equations, this is not something I normally, I was not planning to talk about this at all, but, and you guys love to razz me because lately I've been surfing TikTok, but there's this dude I came across on TikTok. He's this young guy, probably in college or university or whatever.
Did you say sorry?
He's a really interesting dude, man. He does this gimmick where, and I got to find his name. He does this gimmick where he will see a video of someone, and from a video, like a headshot or like someone like holding a mug or whatever, he will calculate how tall you are. And he sits there doing some triangular hypotenuse and multiply by pi, and he shows his work in this like 1 minute video, and then he throws it out there and he nails it. And I'm like, holy shit, this guy's got a superpower. This is so bizarre.
You got a new job. How do you have time?
Oh, I have lots of jobs. Kind of stuff. Dude, it's like they're 30 second, 60 second
videos.
I
don't go online to watch hypotenuse.
Did you respect intelligence? Did you officially find the end of the internet?
Yeah, really? I'm there.
Is that what happened? Yeah. Like there is nothing else left. You're searching the coming soon demos or something like that.
Dude, there's some good content developers on TikTok, and I have a staunch appreciation for good content. Wow. Not that we're producing any at this moment.
No.
So I was often thinking over the last little while.
Were you often thinking?
I was often thinking.
We know how Republicans and liberals alike feel about COVID and feel about masks. And this whole time I've been wondering, where does the Scientology community lie?
Where?
And now we finally got the answer this week. Thank you, Tom Cruise. In case you haven't heard it, ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
We are the gold standard. You're back there in Hollywood making movies right now because of us. Because they believe in us and what we're doing. I'm on the phone with every studio at night. Insurance companies. Producers. And they're looking at us and using us to make their movies. We are creating thousands of jobs, you. I don't ever want to see it again.
I'm so scared of Tom Cruise.
Don't fuck with short guys, bro. I've been trying to tell y'all.
He's as small as you. I like the fact that I have the same mask as Tom Cruise.
Yeah, because you believe into that Scientology crap,
yeah,
too.
Probably.
I'm so far off Scientology.
Yeah, but right. You're all into the hypotenuse of Scientology.
Yeah, right? You just got done talking about it. Both you guys, and you with your number 10. Fuck, I'm out.
I'm gonna take my mask off, but let me just say this. I can't remember the last time I ever agreed with anything Tom Cruise said. And a lot of celebrities have come out and said, yeah, his message was correct. The delivery a little harsh. Right?
That just goes to show you how badass he is as far as his Hollywood rep. Obviously, he's been acting decades, but when you're on a set and you can fire motherfuckers and tell people where to go, I mean, I don't even know if he's auditions anymore. He's just Tom Cruise, and when I'm on set, what I say goes. And that's the scary part of the business.
The guy who had the funniest take. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I was just going to say, the guy who had the funniest take on this, I thought, this week was Trevor Noah, who I think is hysterical.
He always has great takes on everything.
And Trevor Noah was like, I was worried about coronavirus before, but now I'm terrified because Tom Cruise is not afraid of anything.
Right.
Like, he danced on a black woman's couch when he was on Oprah's show. Like, he's right, not afraid of anything, you right. know? Like, he does his own stunts. This guy hangs from helicopters. He's not afraid of shit, but he's worried about COVID. Like, all of a sudden, the most fearless man in the world is scared, so everyone should be a little more scared.
I think we're all scared of it for different reasons, and I think his reason is very, very money driven.
Right,
you know what I mean, right? Because all it takes is one person to test positive on that set, and
right.
the entire set is shut down.
Right,
and if it's a Tom Cruise movie, this thing is costing $5 to $50 million a day to shoot, right? And that's money that's being taken away. So I understand his passion of the message and everything like that.
But you're saying it may not be altruistic.
I'm saying let's not forget who the preacher is. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I got a question about the
dollar
video,
dollar
man.
Bill, y'all.
Right? He's still selling snake oil.
In 2020, why are they still editing motherfucker. Like, they, I find it hilarious that at this stage of the game, they can put M dot dot or asterisk asterisk F dot. Like, someone's going to go, what did he say? Like,
well, because
we,
the, because
literally,
because,
a question.
No, I can tell you, it's a legit answer. I have a legit answer for you. Okay. It's because of a little woman in Jersey. Her name is Martha Freeland, right? And everybody was getting upset because it's the same amount of letters, and they were like, "Wait, is this me or whatever?" And she was like, "No, motherfucker."
They're mixing shit up.
Yeah, so it just had to be safe. They didn't want the lawsuits.
For this long, you had me going that you were actually making a point. For this long, this Martha amount Fokker. Of time.
He was referring to the Martha Fokker character from Meet the Parents.
Fokkers?
So no, I don't know. I mean, the funny thing to me, though, is like this whole thing is just so crazy because, you know, Tom Cruise, you know, going off like this. And now TMZ has reported recently, I think as recently as today, saying the crew from Mission Impossible 7, where that explosion happened, the crew is now like apparently walking off the set and going, he can go fuck himself. You know, he embarrassed us. And now it feels like there's a bunch of really sensitive Gen Z people that are like, he hurt my feelings.
Yeah, it wasn't like when Christian Bale was riling off people and, you know, no one said shit. Now everyone's got their hurt feelings. And you know what? Here's the problem, man.
Remember that Flight of the Conchords song? I've got hurt feelings. I've got hurt feelings.
Well, see, this is the problem with what's going on with COVID and people's approaches to it, is that people are getting their feelings too deep. They're too in their feelings about this idea that wearing a mask is a reduction of their freedom or the taking of it or and all of this shit. And at the end of the day, the truth is a bigger picture. And I don't know what's causing these M asterisk, F asterisk to not understand that here we are approaching the end of 2020 and the shit does not seem to be getting any better. And it's obviously their actions. You continue to fuck around, be around people, no masks, gathering and all this stuff. Of course the cases are going to go up. It's happening in schools. It's happening when where people are gathering. I don't know why, as you said off the top to when you introduced this, Donnie, why it's a liberal conservative thing. I don't understand it. I've never have understood how people's political allegiances will cause them to, you've heard me say this 1,000 times on this show, just to make a decision. For the most part, it seems that way. It's not everybody. But again, if you guys haven't figured it out yet, okay, we've almost had a year of this. I don't know if you're ever going to figure it out, which tells me I don't know if we're ever going to get out of this short of the vaccine, because that's what's the craziest part of this whole thing.
So I have two thoughts on that. One is I don't think this thing is going away until the majority of the planet is vaccinated. That's number one. Even though guys like Fauci have come forward and said wearing a mask is actually a better prevention method than the vaccine, I still don't think until there's something out there that's in people's systems to prevent them from getting this, I don't think it's going away. Secondly, I have been since day one, since March 13th, when the lockdowns all started, I have been 1,000% in favor of everything that the government has put out, whether it was our local government, the federal government, the United States government, whatever it is. Well, not Trump, but anything that was coming out that made sense as to how do we get this shit under control, I've been backing it. I'm now falling off that train. Mm-hmm. I no longer believe that the lockdowns that are happening are helping.
Right.
Businesses that are shut down, bars, restaurants, barbershops, everything else. And the numbers here in Ontario and across North America continue to climb.
Right.
How is that possible? And the reason it's possible is because the data is now showing spread was not coming from retail locations and businesses. Spread was coming from people hanging out at home with other people.
Right.
Spread is coming from people having booty calls with someone and that person goes and has booty calls with someone else. Spread is happening because people that want to socialize around the holidays and go to a bar and hang out with their people can't do that. So they're all coming over to the crib. And it's still, the people are not just doing what the government has said and just staying the fuck home. They're going about their business, just doing it a little quieter and a little more hush hush and not putting it all out on social media. Mm-hmm. I know we're not going to be like China, where they were basically at a point in the summer where if you were out of your house without a reason, you're under arrest.
Right.
That's not going to happen here. But without that level of severity, this shit's not going away anytime soon. It's just not.
Why don't you think that's not going to happen?
Because we don't live in communist China.
So what other way is for that to be eradicated from, you know what I mean? How do we get rid of all of this and get back to normal? If it's not grocery stores, if it's not, you know what I mean? If it's not the Costco's, like everybody seems to think and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
How do we do it short of knocking on people's doors, hiring extra police to have that kind of, you know, bring in the military where you have a military state where there's tanks and people with, you know, automatic guns.
Like,
is that what we're talking about here? No, I don't think so.
In this city,
I don't think so.
In this city, people lost their shit when the cops forced a guy running a rib joint to shut down. If you have police in the streets saying, turn around and go the fuck home, you're not going to your girl's house. Well, you're not going to visit your mom's. You're not going here. You're not going there. People are going to lose their fucking minds.
Now, we're also talking about the same government, though, that knew that that same person you're talking about has been operating for, what, like 3+ years without a license and only took to now to shut him down? Like, listen, they're not moving fast on a lot of things for whatever reason. And I mean, that's not just happening in the big metropolis that we live in and or near, that is Toronto. That happens in Vancouver. That happens in Chicago. That happens in Las Vegas. That happens in LA. That happens in New York. It happens all over the place in big metropolises, especially. We may not see it in the smaller rural areas, but we're going to see it in the big cities, because inside of the big cities, you have more of a chance. If you've got 3+ million people living in a big city, there is a chance. We know this from the previous election. There is a chance that 50% of those fucking people are idiots.
Yeah.
Rural is a word that I always think I'm mispronouncing. Rural.
You sound like, yeah, you say it mad weird, bro.
Rural. Yeah, you sound like Scooby. You sound like Scooby.
Rural. Rural.
Rural.
Rural.
Yeah, you nailed it.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's
going to be 100%.
50% of the people out there are going to be against this. You know what I mean? So, that's the problem that we deal with. And as long as there's this push me, pull you fucking bullshit attitude, we're not going to get ahead of the game.
Yeah,
as long as you're fighting to get ahead because of your misbeliefs or beliefs, whatever you want to call them, you were never going to get ahead.
Yeah.
Interesting story that broke this week that was feel good for a lot of people and then quickly turned into a what the fuck moment was the announcement that the baseball team in Cleveland, Ohio will no longer be using the name Indians.
Right.
However, they will. They will no longer be using the name. However, they will. And what I mean is, immediately after announcing that the team was going to abandon the name Indians, they then announced that for the 2021 season, they would use the name Indians. And let me explain to everyone exactly why this is.
Oh, please.
This is not because, well, we don't have a new logo ready. We don't have a new team name. We need to have something in place before we make such a big change. Bullshit. The football team in Washington is out there right now with nothing on their helmets.
Right.
You can be the Cleveland Baseballs for 1 year, okay? And then change your name to the Steamers or whatever else. But the point is, here's what's going to happen. Ohio, historically, is what? Red state, right?
Okay.
The people in Ohio, by and large, are pissed about this name change.
We must keep our race's name.
People don't understand. The Indians are a proud people. They're warriors. Oh, we support them. The culture. Okay. We support. That's what's happening. That's the conversation. this victory lap of goodbye to Chief Wahoo, this victory lap of goodbye to the Indians mascot, is to try and drum up enough support, enough of a petition, enough that they can come forward and go, the people demanded we keep it. I promise you. Now, I don't know if it's going to be successful.
Okay.
But I can almost guarantee. I spoke to someone that is close to the organization, and I can almost guarantee you that that is the indirect reasoning behind this.
Can they walk this back, though? I mean, given everything that we've experienced in this past year, given the change of the Washington football team name, among other changes that have been made, can they do this? They've made. It's not like they can go back on an announcement they didn't make. They made the announcement.
Listen, if they come out and go, we got to give the people what they want, then it's just going to be like, you know, hey, the people insisted.
For all idiots out there, let me try to explain something to you. Indians come from India. Okay? So when Columbus and
the term was racist from day one. So
before we talk baseball, okay? Before we talk, and I want to let, obviously, Tid has to obviously chime in here, but before we talk baseball, okay? Calling indigenous people Indians is already a problem. Fuck the baseball team. Calling the people Indians is a problem. I don't know how you haven't figured that out yet. Tid.
See, here's the issue, and you said it yourself, because Ohio is one of these states that's a red state, and so they're going to have all of these people, and the people spoke, and we want to keep the name. Who are these people that we're talking about, folks?
Right.
They're not talking about indigenous people. We're not talking about the people that the name is actually a fucking problem for.
Right.
That you know what I mean? Like, let's be realistic here, folks. What you're doing is you're just walking into the picture that is your own fucking racism. Stop. Stop the bullshit.
I watched a report on local Cleveland news the other day.
They should change the name to Cleveland, Our Airport Smells Like Piss. That's the name they should fucking change it to.
The Cleveland Airport Pissers. No, but I saw this local news broadcast in Cleveland the other day, and I was watching, and they interviewed this lady, and she's like, I don't understand. I have friends that are natives, and they don't have a problem.
Right.
Listen, I have friends. I have friends, and I know a lot of people. There's a lot of very fucking talented individuals that come out of Cleveland who are professional wrestlers right now. A ton of them, right? So I have no problem with them as individuals. But we're not talking about 1, 2, 5 individuals. We're talking about the entire organization.
Yeah.
We're talking about an entire organization, inside of an entire city, inside of an entire state, inside of an entire nation.
Yeah.
That's the fucking problem.
Yeah.
It doesn't, like, listen, if we're going to do this bullshit down in Georgia where they're going to be like, hey, come move to Georgia so you can vote on this fucking runoff election and we can make sure that the Republicans keep the fucking blah, blah, blah and all this bullshit, then we need to be doing the same thing. If we're only going to have the people of Ohio and the people of Cleveland saying the people demand that we keep the name, then the rest of the fucking nation needs to stand up and say, we demand that you change the bullshit right fucking now. It's that simple.
And another point, man, the dumbest, most ignorant motherfucking thing you can say is that you know a couple of motherfuckers who agree with you, who seem to be from the group of people that are, you know, should be offended by this. And that makes it right. So forget any research, understanding of anything that's actually going on in your country, your city, your state, or the world for that matter. Just rely on the couple of people that you know who, if their ass is his friend with your white fucking racist ass, they're probably the kind of fucked up people who don't represent that population anyways. It's like when people bring up fucking Candace Owens or some shit to say, well, see, she said it. It's like, motherfucker, she don't speak for black people.
Candace,
and those motherfuckers don't speak for the indigenous if they have no problem with the name Cleveland Indians.
Candace Owens is the Republicans' wet dream. She really is.
And realistically, who are we? Like, who the fuck am I to say anything, you know, in front of a black man when it comes to Black Lives Matter? That's not my fucking place. You know what I mean? So who the fuck are these people to come and say, no, 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 Indians and indigenous people and right. whatever we're calling them this week down there in that fucking bass-ackwards part of the fucking world, mm-hmm. they're okay with it right now. Fuck you. How about that? How about fuck you on behalf of me and everybody that's even fucking remotely part Indian? Fuck you.
We're waiting still for our guest to join us tonight, but before we get to that, there was a story that came out, I think a couple days ago, Corey Taylor, Tid, of Slipknot.
Yeah.
He came out this past week shitting on toxic fans, specifically targeting wrestling fans and Star Wars fans, but
nerds.
Said that this applies to anyone who tries to basically gatekeep fandom, like, you don't know enough, so you're not part of this. Or they do the opposite thing where it's like they have such this thirst for inside information, for inside dirt, that they're never satiated, and no matter what happens, they shit on everything to do with the product, to the point where they make the product no longer enjoyable for them or for anyone around them. I know in the wrestling business, you just call those guys smart marks, pains in the asses, and whatever, but what's your thought in general on these this sort of like growing trend of troll fans, you know, these toxic people that just seem to like watch stuff just to hate on it? Because the old logic used to be, well, at least they're watching. But now it seems to be like they're watching with the purposes of destroying it.
Right. It's become, it's something that's always happened in a lot of things. You know what I mean? I think that honestly, music is the one thing that it doesn't happen in. And I mean that by live performance. Nobody goes to live performance for the purpose of heckling. Right. But in comedy sets, absolutely. That's where the term comes from. In pro wrestling, that's exactly what's happening. They go to they're like, I need to, you know, just do what I can to shit on everybody and get as much attention to me the same way that a heckler does at a comedy set. In movies, they want to shit on the movie itself. You know what I mean? It's like they may not even feel that way, but it's become this thing that's garnered attention. So listen, it's bullshit. Just keep paying your money for the ticket, and now fuck off.
Dan, jump in, Dan, before we get to our guest.
I think it has a lot to do with social media culture.
Right.
Everything is so accessible now that people are fighting to be the first one to say something, the first one to prove something, find out about something that no one else knew about. And it's just this, you know, this popularity contest that people are having with themselves to feel, I don't know, somehow superior. I think that's what's up, man, because we live in a like and comment on my page kind of world.
Well, it actually reminds me, too, of going back to the days like when Tid and I first started doing broadcasts together back in 96. Like, we would get inside dirt to different things all the time, but we wouldn't report it because we use the old school journalism rule, right? It has to be corroborated by two independent sources.
Sure.
These days, there's no such thing.
No.
You hear something, it's going on the internet as quickly as possible. Who cares if it's true?
And meme culture.
It's meme culture.
This entire year, all of our information on social media is given to us in a meme form nowadays.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a picture of bullshit with a couple of words next to it. And we take it as and we just eat it up as gospel.
Yeah.
Because we don't got time. We don't got time to look into it.
Gentlemen, here we go. It is time for our featured guest this week, and it's time for the big hello. This woman is a true rock star in the fitness industry. She's a published author and royalty in reality TV. This woman spent 4 years in Iraq supporting our troops as a laundry attendant, and it was there that she first ignited her love for all things fitness and would go on to become a nationally ranked weightlifter and CrossFit competitor. She's been on the cover of many different magazines, including Inked, Strong, Oxygen, Hers, Carolina Fitness, Sweat RX, and a little publication called Sports Illustrated. NASCAR fans also know she was the first woman ever to work as a Sprint Cup pit crew member. Unconfirmed reports tell me she was the jack, single-handedly lifting those big-ass Hot Wheels so the boys could get underneath and play with their tools. In 2017, she opened herself up to millions of new fans as a competitor on Big Brother 19. She finished third despite shattering her ankle early on, much to the chagrin of weird foot fetish guys everywhere. Tid, I'm looking in your direction. In 2020, she was back for Big Brother All-Stars with two working ankles, but she finished fourth. Next time I'm thinking she should just stay in a wheelchair the whole fucking time and win the damn thing. Despite popular internet rumors, she is not Tank's daughter. Her daddy's name is Ed. Ladies and gentlemen, she grew up in Texas, but she lives in North Cackalack, and I hear she's spending a lot of time in Memphis. Her rebels love her, and she loves those who are loyal. Give it up to the woman with the coolest name ever to appear on this show, the lovely and talented and tatted and supremely jacked Christmas Abbott.
Oh my gosh. Donnie, I'm going to have to hire you for my hype man when I go into WWE. Wow.
Let's do that. I will be your Flavor Flav.
Oh,
I will
be amazing.
I will be your white 6'8" Flavor Flav. Let's do it.
Love it. Love it. That was actually like my career stuff was spot on.
Thank you.
You must have not looked on the internet.
No.
No, he's actually a longtime stalker.
Yeah. I'm actually sitting outside your house right now.
It's a good thing I moved.
Don't get creeped out.
That is his thing. He has his intros down. I'm glad you enjoyed it because it's all downhill from now.
So. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we had time for. Thanks, Chris.
Tremendous.
It was real, guys.
We thought it'd be a lot of fun. We first reached out to you many, many months ago and said, hey, we'd love to have you on the show. And then, you know, I remember you responded and said, yeah, I'd love to do it. And then we spoke to your people and your people are like, well, Christmas is a little tied up right now. And then a week later, oh, she's on Big Brother. And I'm like, oh, now I know why we got worked. And then, yeah. You know, we finally decided like, you know what, if we're going to have the last episode before Christmas, let's invite Christmas.
And I love it.
I thought it worked out well. And you know what? My understanding, we're just a couple days away from your birthday. So happy early birthday.
Oh my gosh. You guys are so sweet to me right now. You must have not been on the internet lately.
We don't pay any attention to that shit. But thank you so much for taking the time out. I guess let's start right there, right? Like, and I'm not even one of these people that goes, like, were your parents hippies to call you Christmas? Yeah. That's not even my first thought. My first thought is,
Are you glad you weren't born in October? Is the first.
No,
Halloween on the show.
My first thought was this.
In October, so.
But her name's not Halloween, is it?
No, it's Loyal.
Okay. Well, okay. Dan, when you're a kid growing up, right? What's the thing you're taught you don't want for Christmas to end up in your stocking?
Cole. Oh, is it the pop quiz?
And isn't that your sister's name?
Get out of here.
No, I'm like, what the hell? Okay, now I think your parents are ribbing all of us.
No. Okay, so her name was Cole, K-O-L-E.
I know.
And her name is Winter. I'm Christmas Joy. And my brother got the normal name. He got named after my grandfather.
Your parents think they're just funny as well. Like they're like, we already know that these kids are going to be trouble, so fuck them. They got to live with these names for the rest of their lives.
Like, yes. Talk about a complex your sister must have had. That's my sister Christmas, and I'm fucking Cole.
So okay, I'll go you one further. I used to have a friend that it was a roommate of mine. I shit you not, his name is Noel.
Oh, Noel,
N-O-E-L.
Yeah.
Noel. Last name. I'm not even fucking around when I say this. His last name is Garland. This motherfucker's name is Christmas Decoration already out the gate. So y'all got some parents that think they got jokes, man.
I'm
going to
tell you a story. I have two stories. I knew a guy and a girl. I met them within a year apart. Cupid was their name. Second story is that I went to high school, and you can actually fact check me on this. I went to high school with a girl. Her name was Mary, M-A-R-Y. Last name was Christmas. Her dad coached for the school at Jefferson Forest High School in Virginia. And
damn.
Dear Lord.
Parents are not playing.
Southerners,
Her last name was Christmas, and they intentionally named her Mary.
Merry Christmas. Wow.
Could you imagine if you two hooked up?
But I'm in Christmas Joy, so like.
But if you two hooked up, you would have been Christmas kinda... Christmas.
Christmas Joy Christmas. They had a son named Robbie. He was real cute. Sorry.
Christmas, there's no doubt. that you've been living your entire life explaining your name, being asked about it and stuff. Is it cool, especially around this time of year, or is it just so damn annoying at this point? Because we've been ribbing you now for like almost 10 minutes.
We can actually do this whole podcast was to rip me on my neck.
But you're my favorite holiday, I promise.
Oh, thanks. I mean, I get.
But pulled. How you feel though?
Yeah. I start ignoring people because then I realize they're actually not talking about me.
Okay.
Sometimes, and then I don't know. It's just like the whole thing where it's fun because some like today one lady was like, "Oh my gosh, that's so awesome! We have this whole time," and she didn't disbelieve me. And then some people were like, "Oh, you're lying." I'm like,
"Right,
why should I be lying about my name?
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm just trying to buy a pack of gum at the gas station. don't be an a-hole."
Do you ever not go all in and just say your name's Chris to avoid the conversation?
No, I can't do that.
Okay, cool. Be proud.
I like that. Own it.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm on board.
You're far too Googleable now.
Big time.
Right?
But you know what? Her name is her brand.
Big Brother. I'm like, no shit, which one?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So,
and then they're like, what?
So full disclosure, Christmas, I have been, and I get mocked by my boys here all the time. I have been a Big Brother super fan since day one. I've watched every season of the U.S. show and the Canadian show.
And
because the Canadian show's better. Sorry. It is. But
I'm not about it.
my favorite part is how he follows it up so Canadian-like. It's
sorry.
Better. Sorry.
Yeah. I am what I am.
It actually made me think. I was like, is he fucking Canadian?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He is. He is very much.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But so the funny thing is that I've watched the show for years and years and years. The first time I saw you on season 19.
When people liked me?
We'll get to that.
Oh, you're but a villain.
When I saw you on season 19, my first thought was what everyone thought. This girl's going to be gone fast. She's too much of a threat. You know, she's good looking. She's jacked to shit. She's covered in tattoos. She's going to intimidate the hell out of people. She's way too confident. She's a big personality. She's going to be gone in nanoseconds. Mm-hmm. And then when you had the accident, and I want to talk about that accident, but when you had that, and I'm sure that's a day you don't ever want to think about, but you had that life-changing accident, which I mentioned briefly in the open. And I actually thought, believe it or not, I thought that was your shot to win the whole damn thing.
It was.
Because I feel like you got so much sympathy and you were forced to play a completely different game because all of a sudden you're the hobble chick. Mm. Am I nuts?
No, it's accurate. It's accurate. Like, I can't listen. People talk about how aggressive I am or like a big personality or like I say these very like jarring things. That is competition Christmas. And I need you to understand that there are two very different ones. There's like the mom, the fun, the like super loving, super patient one. When I walked into that house, that bitch was gone both times. I don't fuck around when I go into competitions. I'm sorry. Am I off the cuff on this?
No, fuck no.
I do not fuck around. Like, that is, like, I am ferocious. I am terrifying. And I don't give a shit if, like, what's in my way. I have an eye. I have a goal, and I go for it. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, honestly, when I broke my foot on season 19, one, it was devastating because, like, that was a career-ending break. It was like 10 bones, my foot folded in half. I mean, it was awful. And I didn't understand the magnitude of that until after the show because I just, you know, you're in a bubble. But I was like, I literally was lying in the ground and they were, you know, asking me if I could get up. I was like, I can't get up. I was like, but y'all have to promise me that I'm allowed back in this house if I'm going to get this x-rayed. I was like, I know I broke my foot, but you have to promise me that I can come back in. And they were like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, what do you want to do? You guys,
that's generally like, you're done, right?
Yeah.
You have to leave for medical emergency. You're done.
You're done.
Right.
And so I was like, well, you guys, I was like, I'm not leaving until, and like, this is going to be a scene. And so they were like, okay. And then when I came in, like once we figured out how severe the break was and I was going to have surgery and they were like, they sat me down. They said, well, how are you going to do this? And I said, I'll scoot up on my butt on the stairs on the way up. I'll, you know, like I can cook my own food. I can figure it out. Like this isn't the obstacle. And they let me have the choice whether I stay in the house or I could go home and get the surgery. And they didn't even say return, but they were like, you know, but you'd be done. And I was like, that's not even an answer. I'm staying. Wow. So I should have probably at that moment said, hey, look, it's probably best for me to go home and recover because I had a lot of challenges in the house and I was in chronic pain the entire time. That's not what Big Brother did, but I mean, the surgery alone was like 5 hours on my foot and I had 10 screws, 2 plates, 2 pins. I mean, it was, I don't even know. Going back into the house this time, I was like, how the hell did I do that? Mm. How the hell did I go 3 months on a crutches and a scooter and like no weight bearing on my foot whatsoever? And so this time I went in and I was like, bandages off, bitches. I'm going full steam. Evict me first night or I'm going all the freaking way. I don't care. Wow. I'm here. I'm going to play the way that I want to. And I'm not looking for forgiveness or apologizing for my competitive nature. So I got fourth instead of first.
Nothing wrong with that. You know, considering all things, I think it was pretty amazing. And it was because of that injury, I think. And the fact that I think a lot of the fans felt, you know, Christmas didn't really get a chance to be the comp beast because of the injury. I think that's why so many people wanted you to come back for this all-star season that happened this past summer and ended in the fall. And again, you did well. But I think you may have been surprised when you came out of the house, and you've already alluded to it a couple times. All of a sudden, people are pissed at you. Can you please explain to me, why are people mad at Christmas?
You know, people are mad at Christmas because they don't want to deal with their own shit. And that's okay. I don't mind being people's punching bag. But at the same time, don't call bull into the ring and then get pissed off when it charges red. Mm. That's it.
Were you hurt when you heard Bailey making racial accusations against you, saying that you were making racial slurs in the house towards her, towards Davon?
I had no idea she accused me of making racial slurs.
Well, like, I think she was sort of like hinting at it, tiptoeing around it without really saying it.
You know, yeah, I mean, full transparency, it broke my heart. Like, right. I really enjoy Bailey. Like, me being upset to put her up on the block was authentic. Like, I was emotional in the game, but I was not an emotional player. And let me explain the two. It's that I can feel bad about having to put up somebody that I feel like I could have a connection and a friendship with because I want them in the house because I love their companionship. I really, really enjoyed Bailey's companionship. However, I'm not going to make game decisions based on how I'm feeling. I had an alliance. I'm loyal to my alliance, and I made sure that the two people that were most vocal about coming after the people in my alliance, I put up. It could have been anybody that was that said those things to me, and that's what I would have done. Right. I wouldn't have done anything differently in my game. When I came out of the house, I was shocked. I was devastated to think that, one, she thought that those things of me, and then, two, that it was being pushed harder and harder post show when I reached out to both Davon and Bailey on multiple different avenues and got crickets back. Hmm. You know, I wanted to have a conversation about how exactly what I did and how I did it and how it affected them so I could create an understanding and awareness. I apologize for the things that I needed to own up for. And instead I just got shut down, and that's their choice. I'm not mad at them for it. I'm disappointed and sad.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll be honest with you, I don't watch the live feeds. I've never been that nerd, but,
sure, bro.
No, it's for real. I swear to you, I've never watched a live feed. I watch the TV show. Sometimes I'll read stuff online, get the synopsis of what happened, but I don't watch live feeds. But everything I saw on TV, I'm like, I feel like they're being a little harsh on my girl Christmas. Like, this is a little ridiculous.
I've watched some things. And what I get frustrated about is people are like, well, that's reality. That's who she is. I'm like, one, you put me into a confined space for 3 months. And... Right. tell me to do whatever it takes. Trust me, there's no rules in Big Brother.
Right.
So do whatever it takes to win $500,000. It could have been win anything and I would have gone for it, you know? But I 100% made very strategic, 100% game moves. And there is no race, gender, sexual identification, or economic influence that went into my decision-making whatsoever.
And for the record, I fully believe that. Tid, go ahead.
I've never watched the show. I apologize. You know what I mean? But is it just like, does it just turn into some straight up cattiness?
Usually, historically, yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was the fight between me and Daybon and Bailey was the only fight among this season. Usually there are tons of fights. And so, you know, I think that production had an opportunity to take a very social sensitive subject and throw it into a situation that was not that at all, just because they could make the optics appear that way.
So now could you use this, because you mentioned it off the top when we first started all of this, could you use this as part of a launch to get into WWE? You mentioned that up there. Is that something that you're working towards right now?
And the funny thing about that is people said to us, because we posted in a few different places earlier today, Christmas Abbott's going to be on the show. Send in your questions.
Right.
And someone said to me, hey, Donnie, does Christmas remind you at all of one of your former co-hosts from a radio show you did many years ago, Trish Stratus? And I said, oh, I get why you say that. They were both fitness chicks, models on the cover of every fitness magazine. When Trish started working with Tid and I, nobody knew who the hell she was. Like, you have a way bigger profile than she did.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we introduced her to the right people. And next thing you know, she's a big fucking star and we're doing a podcast. But it is interesting. There are definitely comparisons. Is that something that you've ever been approached about or something you've ever thought about?
You know, okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and say, like, look at my resume. Yeah. I got into competition because I discovered that I loved it. And then, like, that's why I got into NASCAR, because I was like, man, this sounds amazing. I want to see how far I can go with it. Well, I went to the top. I am literally so very fascinated by it. And I never truly considered it because I was very active in the sports that I was, you know, three pro sports it's kind of exhausting. But I just love competition. As that I'm getting older, I'm still very physically capable, and I'm fascinated by it. I've been looking into it. I've been asking around about it. I don't know the process for it, but I'm like that, honestly, for my personality, my athletic background, my fiery fierceness competition, the no fucks attitude, like, you want to come at me? Cool. Bring your fucking back up because you're going to need it.
Well, let me
operate.
Where are you living? Where are you living?
I'm currently in Tampa.
Oh, I thought you were in North Carolina.
I'm selling my house. Didn't you get on Reddit? Come on.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm not on the internet.
Yeah, you're close enough to Orlando.
I was going to say, because, you know,
an hour away.
Yeah.
And you don't know this, Christmas, but I'll throw this out there for you. My co-host here, Notorious TID, Chris Tidwell, 25-year professional wrestler who's trained many, 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 many people. And yeah, if that's a direction you ever want to go in, we know lots of people in your area that will hook you up and take care of you.
We're literally on the call right now. Let me ask you, Tid, do you think I have what it takes to go all the way? Because I'll give you your answer.
Wow, she's already got her t-shirt slogan. I'll give you her answer.
She's got a catchphrase. She's ready to go.
I'm waiting.
That's great. I can hear the promos with her asking questions.
Wow.
I'll give you Keep it up, Christmas.
I'm good for TV, baby. I'm good for TV. I'm sorry, Tid. Go for it.
The Christmas, the Christmas that converts the Jews.
What are you talking about?
There's gotta be like a crew of girls like the Jews and Christmas.
That's the first feud.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
The Happy Hanukkahs versus Christmas.
Wow! Unbelievable.
We'll do something like that.
Paul doesn't run in
my comic.
I want to ask you something, because on this show many months ago, we had another longtime friend of ours, Johnny Fairplay, on this show. And Fairplay seems to know everybody that's ever been on a reality TV show. So I'm sure you've crossed paths with him at some point at a convention or something.
It's so funny. I would say that he's the godfather of reality TV.
Let's not blow him up that much. Because we've known him too long for that shit.
No, but let's blow him up.
Let's literally blow up Fairplay.
Yeah, I heard they're doing the new Jackass. Maybe they can invite him over.
Fairplay told us many years ago about his first experience on Survivor, and he took a lot of heat for this when he talked about how stuff was getting reshot, production was getting involved in things, and you know they wouldn't change the result of a competition, but they would try to get different angles and get people running a race a second time or whatever, right? Like, you know, the production staff would be sitting there eating cheeseburgers while they're scraping for whatever. I've always been curious. I've asked a few people, friends that have appeared on Big Brother in the past, and I get different answers here and there in terms, and I know you can't speak for 22 seasons, but your experience, did you ever have production really feel like they were influencing what you'd say in the DR or what you'd do in the house?
So they ask questions to prompt, to plant a seed in your head. You know, I think that definitely happens. They ask things over and over to get different versions of it. You know, the DR is there to be able to go and like really, and you know, it's kind of funny because when I heard, it's so bizarre to me that, no, I'm going to go off. Nope.
Oh, that sounded like you're about to get in trouble. I was liking that.
Well, I'll tell you, the answer is that like they definitely prompt you for questions. It's people think that they're like, oh, it's reality. I'm like, no, you're not putting a camera in my house. I'm in a, like what I was saying earlier. You're in a confined space. You're fighting for $500,000. And then there's an hour, three times a week. Most of it's replay of produced video. Right.
Right.
So yes, we can do whatever we want, but you take half a clip and suddenly I'm talking about how much I love Bailey and how sweet I think she is. And suddenly I'm like her worst enemy. Mm. You know, and I literally that night that fight happened, I remember hearing something about the girl, like the girls were in the bathroom and I heard them say something in regards to that subject. And if you're watching the live feeds, I literally jumped back because I was at the sink washing my dishes and I was like, it took my breath away because I was like, oh shit, this is a whole nother turn. And like, this isn't accurate at all. I marched my ass to the DR and I was like, I don't know what's going on, but like, this is not okay. And I literally was like I went on a whole thing about like, I don't like, how am I making the best game move for myself? Right. Suddenly being twisted into something that is 100% not accurate because I have been such a human activist for equal rights my entire life. And when I say human activist, I mean like middle school, high school, college. I got my face beat in because I was in Sexual Minority Student Alliance group when I was in college. I got my face busted and I had to have surgery on my nose. So you want to come at me and tell me I don't believe in human rights? Sorry, I get a little fucking emotional about this. And then you get 1 hour and I'm the villain and I'm the devil. I don't mind being the villain. Just make sure that you have the fight right.
Mm. Right. And that's totally valid. Mm.
Because I am an asshole and I am highly aggressive. I will like do whatever it takes to get to my goal, but make sure that what you say is what I'm actually what I'm actually fiery about.
Right.
In fairness, Tid's an asshole. You're just a little fiery. That's okay.
Hello.
Okay,
I had a question that came in when we threw out questions for the listeners. There was a question here that came in from Carolyn in Hacienda Heights, California. She says, hi,
Carolyn.
She says, hi, I'm a super fan. I want to know, A, does Christmas like girls? And B, how aware is she that there were lots and lots and lots of pictures of her in various states of undress when she was on Big Brother 19 all over the internet?
Okay, one question at a time. That just took a left turn.
Well, I think it's all in one vein of thought.
Okay. I mean, I wore like shorts and a sports bra the whole season.
right.
on 19. You know, I was a little bit more clothed this season. I don't know why. Oh, because the house was freezing this season.
Oh, really?
I don't really like to wear a lot of clothes. It was so cold. And I have dated the ladies.
Mm.
Take that for equal rights, assholes.
And the thanks other for asking, Carolyn.
The other
but
question.
Carolyn,
the other...
sorry, but I'm taken.
Yeah. So speaking of that, when the hell did this happen? Because it came out publicly recently that you and Memphis, also from Big Brother, started dating. Laughing Christmas in Memphis. He can't get
no. We've all heard of that. I'm thinking of Memphis and Christmas. Jesus Christ! Here.
I've had Christmas in Memphis. It was a good time. We sang some rockabilly. It was good.
Why do you allow yourself to have these jokes write itself, Christmas? Like, oh, come man. On.
Listen. Am I crazy?
When I come at you, you got a crap. What's that?
Am I crazy to say that when I watched the show, I didn't see you two showing much in terms of like spark, like maybe a little bit of tension, but was something going on that wasn't on camera?
No. I mean, like, wouldn't you say there was no, like, physical interaction?
Right. But right. were you already vibing? Like, oh, yeah, this guy, he's got his peanut butter in my chocolate. I'm picking up what he's putting down.
Pieces now? Like,
yeah. It's a perfect combination.
I love okay, it.
So I'll give you the tea.
Okay.
What the fuck is that?
Who knows? Spill so the tea.
When we met, like, I thought he was a charming guy, but we both were, like, in relationships. Now I'm going to tell you that we had just started dating these people right before we went in the house. So people were like, oh, my God, they were in relationships. Like, we literally were both with our significant others 3 months before coming into the house. It's casual at best, you know, like, whatever. Yeah. During COVID, so it was more intense.
Oh, wow.
And so going in the house and like we just have like a very good connection and like we just enjoyed each other's company. We talked about our kids. Like there was something there, but we both were just very like stay right. away, you right. know? And then especially towards the end, we just like we kind of felt it growing more and more. When you spend 24/7 with somebody that you have a magnetism with, it's hard to kind of stay away from that. Mm-hmm. And so when we came out of the house, we wanted to make sure that we were respectful to our partners and that we wanted to make sure that we didn't have like Big Brother goggles on, you know, like what, you know, like people get
right
wild in the house and they leave the house and like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking?
Right.
And then we realized quickly that it wasn't that. So we both like split up with our people and
wow,
gave it some time. And then we started dating and or started hanging out, and it was just like it was pretty intense. It is.
I'm thinking right now, if the three of us boys were on Big Brother season 23, I think I'd be out first because I'd overthink everything and I'd piss everyone off on day one. Dan would be out second because he'd be like, why the fuck am I here if I'm not going to hook up with anybody? And then Tid would go all the way to finale night. Because Tid would just be cooler than the other side of the pillow. He'd make everyone laugh. He would throw the fucking competitions because he's old anyway. And he would just say, fuck it. I'm just going along for the ride. And everyone would first think he's a big threat. And then as the show got deeper and deeper, he'd build up his minions and he'd fucking run away with 500K. That's what I'm thinking.
Nice to know that you wouldn't have an alliance with us, Donnie. We'd be on the show, the three of us, and you wouldn't.
It'd be too obvious, Dan.
No, because that's why I'd get voted out. Because in day one, I'd be like, all right, boys, we're going to be the Godfathers. We're going to get together. We're going to make our alliance. We've got secret hit. And they're like, get the fuck out.
I'd be behind that vote out, I'll tell you.
It's almost like art imitating reality. We've been trying to do that. We've been trying to do that on this show for so long now.
Yeah, I can't shake this guy.
He won't give us the passwords. That's fucking the problem.
Awesome. He's smart.
That's called job security.
Yeah. Chris, Donnie, you're for sure going to go all the way. That's the mastermind. You just
on him on himself. The only place he's going all the way is on himself. Trust me.
Often. I would love that opportunity.
COVID. It's COVID.
I love that that opportunity, though, I got to hand it to you, Christmas, for having done it more than once. I've always thought, man, I would love to try my hand at one of these shows and see
would
how
you
far you go. Because I can imagine how much it is different from real life. Like you said, it is a confined space. It's specific people for a specific amount of time. And there's gameplay, you know, like obviously.
So
and I obviously haven't been in that position, but I keep thinking every time I watch, like, here's what I would do. How different is it watching and playing? Because you can't really know without knowing the personalities of the people you're living with.
It's like watching a gymnast. You know, you're watching a gymnast and you're like, man, I think I could do some of those.
Right.
Moves.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't. Like it when people go, and that's why whenever there's a vet in the house with other like all rookies, it's just a piranha. Like they're just feasting because no, like it's so different. And you have these super fans that go in. They're like, man, I know what I'm going to do. I know I got it in control. You can't. Your strategy going into the house needs to be flexible.
Right.
And you have to be able to be okay to sit in your head and stare at a wall for 24/7 and not lose your mind because there's no entertainment. There's no break from the game. And so you see people lose their minds a lot, but it's because you just don't get out of it.
Yeah.
And so really I would do it again. It's a lot like Stockholm syndrome.
When you guys were down to the final four, we had Godfrey Menzwiga, who was a competitor on Big Brother Canada. He came on the show to talk about the final four of your show, right? The All-Star season that you just finished. And he was giving his opinions on who he thought was going to win and blah, 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 blah. And we were laughing about this because him being, you know, a black man, we were sort of having this conversation off air. He's like, you know, one of these days they got to do a season of Big Brother with 14 black people and one white guy and make that one white guy go fucking crazy. Because when I had to live with all those fucking white people, that's enough, you know, and I don't blame him, you know.
It's accurate.
Yeah.
Like, now CBS is coming out how they're doing this new initiative on like, you know, more people of color and having more diversified cast. I'm like, don't fucking punish me because CBS didn't cast more people of color. Like, that's not my fault. I said yes to an opportunity. That's it. But I agree with him. There should be more people. There should be more diversity among every show, period.
Right.
I thought that was a Nick Cannon show called Wild and Out.
Yeah, that's different.
Oh,
I remember he had a funny comment when they first announced the cast for your season, and he was like, "What? This many black people on one episode on one season of Big Brother? Watch them all be fighting with each other." He's like, "They got to get an alliance together, man, from day one." Well, they kind of did. They kind of did.
And Avon and Bailey did have like a really great connection. Which,
yeah, they were tight.
Why they were targeted?
Yeah.
I tried to connect with David since day one, and for the first six darn weeks, he wouldn't talk. Like he would talk, but he wouldn't talk game because he kept getting in trouble. Between Cody and Davon, he kept getting in trouble. And so he kept his mouth shut after that. And I'm like, David, don't you see that I'm fought for them every single time. I tried to flip on Nicole to get him to stay. And like, I just, what was the point of this?
You're not racist.
Oh, yeah, he just didn't play.
You're not racist.
He didn't play. Kevin would just like go with the flow. And he also like, every week he was like, I just love us working together. I'm like, I do too. So why do we have to keep checking in every week? We're good. Let's just play together.
I do have a question, just kind of shifting gears a little bit, but keeping in the same vein a little bit. The show itself is obviously, that is what has given you your notoriety, your popularity and stuff like that, right?
But she was already a big name before the show.
But how much of all of that has helped you in your fitness career?
No,
because I know that's
not.
Like nothing is transferred over. You haven't had people like that have watched the show and stuff like that and signed, you know what I mean? Now they're all of a sudden
tiny percentage. My dedicated, very, very my loyal and dedicated following was from CrossFit, weightlifting and NASCAR.
Yeah.
And Big Brother fans are very, I love them. They're super wild, super dedicated to Big Brother. Not fitness.
Crazy.
Yeah, because they're all like, fat.
Some of them, no, I didn't say it. Some of them did transfer over, but I'm telling you, like, all of my magazine covers, all of that happened before I went on Big Brother.
Tremendous.
I was going to throw this out there. Earlier today, Dan posted a photo on our Instagram account at Godfathers of Podcasting, and he posted a very salacious, sexy picture of you, Christmas, where you're not wearing a stitch of clothing. And you've already alluded in this interview that you don't like to wear clothes. In fact, I think you're horribly overdressed for the purposes of this interview, but that's just me.
I want my grandpa sweater. Like a godfather.
Safe. Oh, clever.
Safe with Dan around.
All right, hold on then.
A friend of ours posted on there, Sasha Wallach, she posted on your photo and said, "How do I get abs like her? Not kidding. I'm serious." And I'm wondering if the Christmas fitness app is... Holy shit. I'm talking and there she's... Well, goddamn. Okay.
It's better.
This is a first.
Why did we bring this up half an hour ago?
Wait, you mean when we have guests on the show, we could just suggest they take their clothes off and they will?
Might as well give it a try.
Holy shit, Christmas. Right. You're the new MVP around here.
No doubt.
Call back Choclair.
See, this is all it is. She's competitive. She wants to be the best guest that we've ever had. And if stripping's going to get it done. So my question.
You don't get the goodies.
Mike, it's okay. Imagination is key.
Camera go down. It's there, right? Okay. just making sure.
So for people out there that are looking at pictures of you and asking questions like, "How do I look like that?" The Christmas fitness app, is that the first place to go to?
Yeah, I wear clothes on it.
so you don't have it. Your OnlyFans yet?
It's You know the naked workouts are a very exclusive thing.
You gotta be in Memphis.
You gotta be Memphis.
That's a whole nother podcast.
We'll do that one. That's a follow-up.
No, really. So I love teaching fitness to introductory, like beginner level. I don't think that most people are going to want to do what I've done for my competitive spirit, like for my competition needs. So I love like fundamental movements. I love basic movements and we build on there. I like teaching people how to connect with their bodies, not just in the workout, but also, hey, if you feel like getting naked, get naked. Like I want people, I tell people, I'm like, go look in the mirror and find something that you love about yourself. Hmm. This whole like fitness to like, you know, to not, I'm sorry, you guys are distracting me.
Money was doing this for some reason. That's
I was doing power. Power to the people.
So my app is really, really for like the everyday person.
Right.
Those pro athletes or the people that want to get down to, you know, shaving 5 seconds off of their workout or something like that. They're not me. They're not my type. I like to teach people how to really love their bodies and how to connect with them. And I mean, that's kind of what I do. And like, I love to be naked. We were born naked. Why can't we do it more often? You know, like my body's aesthetic was a result from my demands of it doing what I asked it to do. And I don't work out for an aesthetic. It's a beautiful byproduct of doing something every day that makes me feel invigorated and full of energy and proud of myself.
And you've got a line of supplements now as well too,
I do.
Absolutely. So I mean, I've inside of the wrestling business and just being dudes and stuff like that, we've been around a lot of fitness products over years and years and years.
She's not going to sell you steroids.
No, this is what I'm saying. Listen, this wasn't built on that.
Like
what I'm saying, what I'm asking is, you know as well as I do, a lot of them, quite frankly, are bullshit. A lot of the supplements out there for years, you've been around it long enough to know. Mm-hmm. So you've done your research, right? You've done your studies on this stuff. Tell us, and more importantly, all of the people that are listening, what makes the supplements that you have better and for everybody else?
Man, that's a great question. And it's so funny. I'm like literally sitting next to it. This is my pre-workout.
Nice.
Yeah. My protein is right around the corner, but I can't move that much. I don't have that much freedom right now.
Yes, you can. Sure, you
say
can.
You say can't. We mean won't.
Yes. That's one of my slogans. I say can't, we won't. All the time. I'm like, oh, you can't? That means you choose not to.
See?
Tid's a little rebel.
You're correct. So what for me as an athlete, I was doing hours of training, crazy food prep. I was really, really specific about what I put in my body. And then they have all this shit. Like the U.S. is really not tight on their requirements for having good quality things. And like what can you can take something and it's not steroids, but it still metabolizes and pops as a steroid.
Right.
So as a competitor at the highest levels, I needed to make sure that what I was consuming was clean and the combination of things that I needed and not just like all the extras. So what I did is for years, I handcrafted my own supplements. And then I teamed up with a company and I literally was like, the only way that I'm going to sign on with you guys is if I have complete control over the recipe. Mm. And I was like, we're basically not going to make money off of this. And I was like, but we get to have a beautiful product that is high end and that is literally handcrafted from me. These are my recipes that I use during all of my reign of athletics. And now what I love about them is that like people are so conscious about what they consume, but then they go take these shipped supplements.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so if you're on that track, and if you are going to take a supplement, then this is the brand that you should use. Now, I only have a few items because I don't want to I'd rather do a few things really, really well than just have a whole bunch of shit products out there just to produce something, you know? So I have a protein, I have a BCAA, I have a recovery, which is a nighttime recovery as well because we recover best in our sleep.
Sure.
And then I have a pre-workout and that's it.
Flavors on this protein?
I have a chocolate velvet and then pure vanilla. That's it. And you put it in water. I wish I had it over here. You literally put it in water. Or
feel free to go get whatever, it. We'll wait.
And you shake. Uh-huh. No clumps. You don't even need the shaker balls. You can shake without the balls.
No.
Write your own punchlines, people.
Yeah, tremendous.
Christmas, listen, this has been great. You've been wonderful with your time. You are welcome to come back anytime you want and get naked. And even if you want to come back with your clothes on, we'll still have you back. But listen, before you go, Danny-O, I'm going to put you on the spot, brother, because here's the thing.
Shocking.
You probably don't want to do this, but I don't give a shit right now because look, she got naked for us. That's a first in show history. And on top of that, we have to say this is the last episode of 2020. We had a great year. Even though 2020 was a joke, this show did some wonderful things this year. Yeah. Dan, can you give us and give Christmas some sort of a end of 2020 happy holiday freestyle just for her?
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
That finishes off with a partridge in a pear tree.
Now, Danny, hold on before you go. Just remember that my zing in season 19 was also the 12 days of Christmas.
Okay.
And it was pretty darn good. So it was, extra pressure for
it
you.
It was fucking awesome. Okay. Wait, if Dan blows your mind, will you stand?
I'll no.
Okay, well, it's worth a shot.
Here comes the worst rap ever.
Thank you, Christmas. Good night.
Of course, Donnie wants me to romp for Christmas. She's sitting down so I can't see where her tits is. But that's all right because we're having a fun show. And you got to ask Danny-O to rap. That's how I go. That's how I do. Merry Christmas to you. You've made it better for us. You've made it better for the crew and everyone watching. Yo, there's no stopping because competition, when you're on a show, you be rocking. The 12 days of Christmas, I wish there were more. I wish there was like 24 because you're not a whore. What you got in store is fitness and a regime to show that you the dopest on any friggin' team. You got an alliance. And you know about science, even though you're not wearing a mask, I see that ass if I can look over your shoulder, but it doesn't work on a damn computer. Donnie is such a jerk for giving me a laptop that doesn't have a 360 degree thing for me to see. Christmas and she will real get naked for me if she likes this freestyle. Do you see what I do for a living? You know, me and you women are gonna have some fun as long as the rap is done and you like it, because you know, like a chob, I spike it. I mean, a ball. See, sometimes I fall off, but y'all are gonna like it anyway. That's what I say. Which friggin' day is this on the Christmas? Hey, is it the 12th or is it the 19th? I don't really know, but this is what you gotta see. Yo, a partridge in a pear tree. You know, T.I. can't fuck with me when it comes to the freestyle rap. I'm out of here because this friggin' shit's really sounding like crap. But Merry Christmas, girl.
Starting? Like 14 bars ago.
I don't care. Even when he fucks amazing. Up, it's amazing. Even when he fucks up, it's great.
So good.
And that was the best birthday present ever.
Right?
Okay, yes, of course. That's tremendous. Happy birthday coming up.
Christmas Abbott, thank you so much. People can get you on Twitter, on Instagram. They can go to christmasfitness.com, borntrelentless.com. All the links will be up on the Godfathers of Podcasting.com. Thank you so much for your time. We mean that sincerely.
Thank you, guys. Oh, my gosh. Favorite podcast of the year.
Woo! Right here. Tell your friends. Tell your fans.
And I've never gotten naked on a podcast before, so there's always a first.
There's first all around. Thank you so much, Christmas.
Yes.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Happy birthday. Merry Christmas.
Bye.
There she goes, guys.
Oh, what? How did I forget her birthday?
I know. You fucked up the freestyle, man. You should have started with happy.
Don't worry about the stinking partridge and shit.
You try to work in partridge in a pear tree.
No, yeah, I saw. The best part was he had it. He went like seven or eight fucking lines trying to work that E in there somewhere, and then he broke away from it. I was like, here it comes, and he broke away from it. And as soon as you broke away from it, that's where you lost it. You were like, fuck, I gotta get back to it now.
Dude, you were studying Dan's rhyme pattern. That's amazing.
It's music, bro. It's music. Yeah. This is what is done.
I love it, fellas. Thank you so much. It's been a lot of fun. 2020 sucked balls, but the fact that the three of us reunited and got to do this was a little bit of a silver lining. Lots of fun, absolutely. And any show highlights? Any favorite moments from 2020 before we sign off? Man. I mean, Christmas Abbott getting naked is pretty high on my list. I'm not going to lie.
There's been a ton for myself. Go ahead, Dan, you first.
Well, I was just going to say, man, you know, it's crazy because, like, as you keep saying, you know, the two of you started this in 96.
Yeah.
And then you and I, Donnie, picked this up about a decade later.
Yeah.
And here we are all these years later, the three of us combining. And we've sort of combined everything that we did in the past to amalgamate it into this thing where we can talk Big Brother, hip hop, acting, wrestling, whatever it is, and
BLM, we'll talk Trump, yeah, we'll course. Talk everything on this fucking show,
you name it. And so yeah, it's been really cool, and getting to know people that I would otherwise not have an opportunity to know has been a cool part of this show too.
Oh my God, I just got a text right this second. I messaged Casey Spinelli, professional wrestler from Canada, who's a huge Big Brother super fan. I messaged her this morning and said, hey, I'm having Christmas on the show, and just thought you'd like to know. And she wrote, oh, fuck off, like in all caps. She's like losing her mind, so excited. She will definitely be tuning into this week's episode.
That's tremendous.
Tid, favorite moments from the year on the show?
I could drag on and 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 on. And I'm only doing this because I know that. No, I'm just kidding. No, there's been a ton of them. And you know what? We should probably put something together coming in the new year. There's been so many moments. It's been such an electric year. You know what I mean? All over the place. It's just been crazy stuff. So I'm excited about to see what we can do. Hopefully we can get back back to all of the comedy stuff for 2021. We've got some good news coming, hopefully, for the end of the year. Everybody have a very Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Hand of a wonderful New Year. Keep following the socials. We got some stuff coming out for you on this one, some special stuff. We're going to put Donnie on the spot. And for all of you underage people out there right now, just don't worry, because Santa will be bringing you a firearm this year. That's what it is about. And if he doesn't, then you're going to have to ask your parents why Santa did not.
Just for the record, my favorite episode this year was when Tid was high for the whole show, and y'all didn't know.
Every episode?
You said when Tid was high for the whole year, and none of y'all didn't know. Yeah, but I know the one you're talking about. Yep. That is funny.
But no one else knows.
Nope.
This week's episode was brought to you by NordVPN, eyeglasses.com, Fight TV, Kangol Hats, Camelback, Air Vape, Just CBD, and Coffee Friend. This is Caprissimo Fragrante. This is what I purchased off Coffee Friend this week, and it is absolutely delicious. I've been sipping on it all episode long. It is absolutely amazing. And of course, I'm drinking it out of my Godfathers of Podcasting mug, and I've got my Godfathers of Podcasting t-shirt, and I've got all kinds of other merch available on godfatherspodcasting.com. If you order it right now, it will still arrive in time for Christmas. Buy it for your friends, loved ones, and people that you don't even like, because hey, it is the season to be giving. My name is Donnie DeSilva. That is Notorious TID, and your bro Danny O. We've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. 2020 is done. We'll see you on the flip side.
Peace.
Ready to rock with me? I need y'all to make some noise. Let me hear you say, "Do that, Dan. Do that, Dan. Do it." Simple and plain, I cripple your frame. From your pulse to the tip of your brain, a lyrical pickle and fame. You shrivel in pain, the trick is to fickle your fame. When you rhyme all aboard, I hear the whistle from trains. I make it hot like the soda flow. Rhymes are rock, they're totally quotable. I'm harder than totem poles, making waves like a motorboat. Making feeling stages where you ain't supposed to go, like niggas in rodeos. Or better yet, a clan being the second from dance, being your hands, people from mics, when the stand speaking. I'm land creeping, quit your damn sleeping. Got no fans peeping me, then a new song you think you can dance even. Yeah, give you a bad idea. This LeBron in the atmosphere, a fan of the Cavaliers. Hey, this place of rap is where people clap and cheer. Danny O ain't the fattest here, man. That is rare. Yeah. Toronto, put your hands in the air. Let me hear you say, "Do that, Dan. Do that, Dan. Do it.
Do that, Dan. Do that, Dan.
The way I rock, I'm the major drop. And the evil that haters got, this fatal to stop, fatal spot. Flowing a force, a billionaire couldn't pay a stop. Leave you in the mic, Jack, Big Jack, take a shot. One in a four. Roll till the fall that you call. You know niggas got flavor, but all of the soul. I make you scream over the scene, that's part of a score. I'm a dick, but you under me, so we'll call you a ball. This rhyme barrel makes a wild terror. Like an overdose of too high, fuck up your mind, Sarah. Well, I'm aware to make you try terror. When I am terror, apparently nearer than object in your side mirror. What's the important need a liver rap odyssey? All of my arteries are chock embedded with honesty. If you're asking what I'm sort of mean, it's because since the beginning I've been destined for winning like Charlie Sheen. See? Toronto, y'all know what I mean. Let me hear you say, "Do that, Dan. Do that, Dan. Do that, do it." Say DJ Grouch. Say DJ Grouch. Say, "Do that, Dan. Do that, Dan. Do it." Straight up and down, I crumble the clown. Take over when I come to your town, like I run your government now. You're wondering how I'll put your crew under the ground. Like my style of rapper, I'm a dog and it's something I found. Yo, I ain't impressed with the way you paint a text. Lazy lame attempts to make the bucks, but you ain't making sense. I need relief, give me a ski, forgive the greatest sex. Cause you made me vexed like a bride when she hates the dress. Create an epidemic, I'll make your rep pathetic. To get you set in a second and dead is my best incentive. Your rep cemented like an En Vogue record set it. Respect, you're never gonna get it, never gonna get it. Fully immersed while you're just tipsy doodling tunes. So I get brutally cool, leaving you foolishly schooled. Leave rap to the niggas who's true to the rule. Don't try to stick it out like girls with no booty would do. True? Toronto, y'all know what to do. Let me hear you make noise. I can't hear you, this is Toronto.